struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. I'm here today with Mark Summey, the CEO of Minute 7. But before I get started, I want to talk about the Nonprofit Architect Alliance, our mastermind group that we're firing up. Send me an email with the subject line, Nonprofit Alliance. Find out more information about this mastermind group and take your nonprofit to the next level. Mark, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Travis. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Ed, I'm always looking to meet new people in new industries and find out something that can enrich my life as well as my listeners' lives. And we've got an interesting thing here today with Minute 7. What on earth is Minute 7?
Yeah, so Minute 7 is a software product. And what we do is we help a category of customers that we call professional services firms. So that's sort of a generic term. But what that translates to into our, if you look at our customers, we have 7,000 people who use our app every day, and they're all professional services. But what that means is we have a lot of not-for-profits. We have a lot of consultants, a lot of architecture firms, engineering services firms. And what those firms are doing is they're, before they use our product, is they're tracking their time in a spreadsheet, or they're tracking their time and expense on a piece of paper. And then they're having to manually input that data into their QuickBooks account for, you know, reporting purposes or billing purposes. You know, when you're starting out by yourself, maybe you can do that or muddle through it. But as you're starting, like in your case, if you're starting a not-for-profit, there's 1,000 things that you need to do. You don't have much time. So manually typing information into QuickBooks is not a great use of your time. So the way we help you do that much more efficiently is you could just put your time in your mobile app on your phone, and then you can sync it or push it directly into your QuickBooks account. So really what we do is we save our employees a bunch of time, we sort of think of ourselves as like a back office admin tool, so that you're not having to do that work yourself. You can have our software do that work, so you can go back to more high impact work at your company. So that's what we do. We've been doing it for 12 years. We're really focused on, you know, this specific type of customer in terms of like professional services and not-for-profit firms, just because there's a lot of time tracking products out there. They try to be, you know, all things to all people, but we're really narrowly focused. What that translates to from the interface is a really simple, easy to use interface. So we don't have a bunch of extra features that you don't need. We're able to really slim that down into a really easy to use system that allows you to track your time and expense and get that information into your QuickBooks account.
That sounds like a huge time saver. I know that nonprofits always have a ton of things to do. They're dealing with the board. They're trying to commit time to donor relations, and that is so important. Then you have this big pool of volunteers that comes as so vital, so helpful to everything that nonprofits do. And you have all these things on your plate all the time. Minute 7 is one of those things that can come, take a little time, put it back in your pocket so you can use that time towards something else, something more valuable than just data entry, which we were talking before the show and talked about the archaic method of using a spreadsheet and then manually entering into QuickBooks. And I'm pretty sure I made that little face. It looks like you're throwing up and just like, ugh. Talking about it. All of the things that we do and that we talk about on the show is that behind the scenes, behind the curtain, tips and tricks that are going to help save you time, prevent you from getting these headaches, letting someone else's story of hardship change the way you look at the thing you're going to do next to save you from going and repeating the same mistakes. And if you're spending time, tons of time inputting this data into QuickBooks, this has got to be something that you get on board with so you can save that time, put it to something more valuable back to what you're doing. That's important.
Yeah, that's right. The other thing to mention, I guess I forgot, is that oftentimes what people will have not-for-profits is in their QuickBooks account, they'll have a list of all the grants that they've got, but they need to track time to those specific grants. And we're able to pull that information into our system. So it allows you to get up and running very quickly. So like you don't have to you know, manually type in your employee's name or your grant's name into Minute7. If it's already in your QuickBooks account, we can just pull that in. You can start tracking time towards it right away. So you don't, there's not a lot of setup required in terms of getting Minute7 up and running. If you have a QuickBooks account, we're able to pull that information in and you can get off and running right away with Minute7.
So you gotta have QuickBooks as the only thing you currently integrate with, but you're working on integrating with Xero. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, we're excited about that. So a lot of people know QuickBooks, but there is another accounting system that is large outside the US. There's a lot of people in Australia and New Zealand that use it, and then they're trying to move. So they have customers in Europe and UK and also in the US. That's sort of the second largest accounting system for small businesses. And yeah, we're building integration with them as well. So it's similar to our QuickBooks integration. You'll be able to do the same thing. So if you're using QuickBooks or Xero, you'll be able to use Minute7 to track your time and expense.
Now, I know a lot of my listeners are still in that startup phase or getting things going, and they're like, oh, it sounds great. It sounds like this is something I can use. And in the back of their mind, they're like, yeah, but what's it going to cost me?
Yeah, so we're not very expensive. And I guess I have two things here. One, we don't cost that much to start off with, which is good. We're only $8 per month. But the other thing that I'd like to offer your listeners is a discount to anyone who's listening. So if you are listening, if you just email me, my email address is mark@minute7.com. And that's MINUTE, the number 7.com. And in the subject line, you just put nonprofit architect, listener or nonprofit architect. I'll give you a 20% discount off that price. So I'd love to meet some of the listeners out there and would love to have them try our product out and be happy to give you a discount to do so.
That's awesome. It's $8 a month for the whole organization or $8 a month per user?
Yeah, per user. That's a good distinction. Yeah. So it's per user. There's no other hidden fees. So we're not trying to sneak fees on you. And we feel like we have a reasonable competitive price, but it is, and it scales up and down. So if you have temporary employees for 1 month, and you add an employee, it would charge $8 more. But if you're not using that employee, you can remove them from your account and it would go back, your cost would go back down $8. So, or in this case, a 20% discount off $8. I don't know what that is, $6.40 per user. But yeah, we're meant to scale up and scale down with your business. So if you're doing well and adding employees, we'll add some incremental costs. But if you know you're scaling down and removing employees, we'll scale that cost down with you.
Yeah, so with the discount, I mean, if you had 10 employees using this thing, tracking it, it would be $80 a month. But with the discount, saving $1.60 times 10, saving $16, you'd be at $66 a month instead of $80 a month. So reasonable either way. And if you're a solo shop, you're getting, you know, these services for $6.40 a month, which I find that hard to beat in just about any service you're going to get online unless it's free. So.
Yeah, I mean, plus I would think about how much is valuable is your time. Like if you're saving an hour or two per month by using this tool, I would argue your hourly rate's probably worth more than $6 an hour. So I would think of it that way too.
Yeah, if it saves you 2 hours and minimum wage 7, whatever, or if you're in a major city and it's 12 or 15, you know, it's a no-brainer. But you have kind of a passion for yourself too. You were raised by a single mother. We're the same age. We're both 38. And
yeah.
Looking for a nonprofit that helps out single moms. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about causes that I'm passionate about. A lot of ways to look up to my mom and, admire, you know, she took on the majority of the load of raising my brothers and I. I'm interested in learning about folks that are sort of supporting that cause. I felt that intimately growing up, sort of the struggles of a single parent having to raise and deal with three. I had one of three boys and we had our moments where I'm sure we tested our mother's will, but yeah, I am curious to learn. So if anyone's out there that's focused on that cause, I'd love to learn more about what you're doing and figure out ways I could support it or help it.
You know, I was going through my database and through my mental Rolodex, trying to think of all the nonprofits that I've talked to over the past year. And this project started probably July of last year, maybe even late June last year. We didn't launch the podcast till September, but I don't know. I don't think I have any nonprofits that I know of directly that directly impact single moms as their primary mission off the top of my head. I do know of a foundation in Oklahoma City here that their primary mission is to get a female head of households a full ride at college. I did have a friend of mine, Kelly Ferris, get awarded a full ride scholarship from Women of the South, Women of the South Foundation, South Oklahoma City. They gave her a full ride to Oklahoma City Community College for her EMT. And when she said, hey, I want to move up to paramedic, they covered all that too. And that's just wow. Fantastic thing that they do. They do a membership based X amount of dollars per month, gets you in the circle and part of this movement in the South Oklahoma City area. And they also give scholarships to young ladies heading into college, a much lower amount. They're not covering everything, but they give you a couple $100 if I'm not mistaken, but they do support female head of households that have to get the mission done and still take care of the kids at the time. So I do know one. I'm not sure I can think of any. If you are listening to the show and you do have a nonprofit that supports single moms, contact Mark. Talk about the wonderful things that you do, and maybe there's something you and Mark can work out on the side. I'd love to partner with you.
Yeah, thanks. I'd love to talk to anybody doing that.
That's good stuff. I know you're on the north side of Chicago, and you've got three young girls, three gals under five. Were you and your brothers that close in age?
Yeah, we had similar ages. I'm the oldest of three. Yeah, because we sort of went through that experience of being raised primarily by my mom, I think that brought us pretty close together. So my brothers and I are all very tight. They live in California now, but we're still very close. And I hope my daughters have that same bond that I felt with my brothers. They're similar. They're about 2 years apart, all three of them. So they're at that sort of ripe age where they're not too far apart, that hopefully they can form some good good bonds and good relationships and stay close through the years.
Let's hope it's not payback for the kind of situation you put your mom through when you were growing up.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I laugh about it with my mom. Shouldn't she? I mean, it's funny looking at my girls now and trying to think of my mom at when she had my brothers and I at the same age. I don't know. I look at my mom in a different way sort of now, having kids of my own and appreciating all the work that goes into being a parent.
And you have help. So, I mean, it's kind of, you can see what's going on, but you also have someone you can tag in when you're just the
worst. Totally. I mean, that's why I think I've become more passionate about it after having kids, that cause, because it's hard enough when my wife and I are both hands-on all the time. So the fact that there's people out there doing it by themselves really, really strikes a chord with me. And I'd like to figure out how I could support it.
So you guys have been doing, back to the business side a little bit here. You were working remotely before COVID, and then COVID happened and you didn't really rock your business boat at all. But for those people listening at home that are maybe doing nonprofit work part-time or full-time, but they're doing it by themselves and they're no longer going to a work or to an office, what are some of the things that you've had implemented in your remote work life since the beginning that could maybe help some of these people that are trying to get it done and figure out how to do it better?
Yeah. So we were already using like a bunch of tools that allowed us to work remotely. And there's a bunch of free tools out there that I'm sure a lot of your listeners use, but if not, they should try them. One is the one we're using right now. Zoom is a great, great product that we use all the time. We use Slack a lot for communicating to one another. So if you have a team,
Slack.
So it's a communication chat tool. So it's like real time chat. So you can, but it can be asynchronous. So meaning like, I can post a message and then go back to work and check it sort of when I want to check it.
kind of like a project management tool.
That's right. It's used. I mean, it's a chat tool, but it's used for work. So you're using it to communicate with your team members about whatever you're working on, you know, status updates, questions. You can post things like screenshots and things like that in there if you're trying to work out a problem that you need some sort of visual representation. So it sort of stores all the information too, so you have it for historical reference. If you need to reference it back later, you know, you can go look at the chat history and be like, okay, this is what we decided. And so it's a great tool. All the, we use Gmail, which everyone knows about. For customer support, we use a tool called Zendesk that allows us to manage our,
Zen?
Yeah, it's Zendesk. That one costs, I think it's like $9 a user or something like that. But that helps us manage, like, when people are asking us questions and making sure that we have a log of it and we know the status of the if a customer asks, have we responded? Is it solved? Is it pending? Those type of things. Because in email, sometimes if you're getting a lot of email, you know, you miss things, and Zendesk keeps it all organized in one spot, so you know what status and are you servicing your customers at a high level or not. So that's been a good tool for us.
I imagine that'd be helpful, like if you had a call out to a donor, you were waiting for a call back or an email back, and they sent it to you, that would be in your queue for them to give you a little attention to follow up with that donor. And I imagine with Slack, if you have different people, different volunteers, or different employees working on planning an event, and you could see where everyone was at in the planning process, or they did one last year and you want to make sure you didn't follow up with the same mistakes that you made the year before under a different team, you could use that historical data to help train your new team. Say, hey, make sure you do this. They did this wrong. They covered this here. They did this well. And it would save you time. And it's almost like a training tool.
Yeah, that's a great, great point. We use Slack and Zendesk for those exact reasons. Like if you're bringing on a new customer support person, they can reference all the historical questions that your customers have asked, and they see, oh, okay, this is how we respond to them. So it speeds up their training. You're not having to like wait for inbound calls. You have all this stuff to reference, and allows them to get up to speed very quickly.
Yeah, there's definitely a high turnover rate in some positions in the nonprofit world. Executive director, fundraising coordinator, even program director, between 12 months and 36 months is essentially what you're getting, unless you are a much bigger nonprofit where you have some kind of promotion progression or something of that nature, where you're really, you know, something that's sought after and they're coming to you on purpose, not just falling in your lap. You have to be able to manage these programs, not only across time, but across people. You might go through two or three executive directors or fundraisers in between when you did an event or when you last talked to a customer to where they are now. And if the person answering the phone cannot find this information, chances are you lost that donor. You lost the person that cares about your mission because they don't feel that like you care about them.
It's pretty amazing. I think about it sometimes, like if, I'm an optimist, but if you had tried to starting a business like 20 years ago versus today, there's all these free tools that are out there that sort of allow you to do a much more like a solopreneur or a single person. So in a lot of ways, we're really lucky to be in this world that we're born at this time. If we're interested in doing our own thing or starting something, it's easier than it's ever been to do this stuff because of all the tools that are out there for us. So not that it's easy overall, there's still going to be challenges, obviously, anytime you're trying to start something, but in terms of like free tools to help you, it's never been better.
If you're listening to this show right now and you're not connected with me on Facebook, go to facebook.com/nonprofitarchitect, friend me, and go back to, I don't know when this episode is going to come up, but go back to August 7th. This year, I put a call out for people to dump their free tools onto my timeline there. And I got about 174 responses. So Slack and Zoom were both on there. Zendesk was not on there. That's $9 a month. That's definitely reasonable. It's not free. But there is a gigantic list of free resources on my page right now that you can go and grab, find something that is going to help you out. You can't just steal pictures on the internet. You can be held liable in court for these, but there is things in my timeline right now that you can go to get free stock photos to do.
That's great.
connect.
I'll have to check that out myself.
There is just tons and tons and tons of free tools out there. But if you don't know they exist, it doesn't matter if it's free or $1 million because you can't use it anyway. So go through, hop on, friend me, go through the list, find something that's going to work for you, and put it to work. There's nothing like multiplying, being a full force multiplier by using the right tools to help you advance, promote your nonprofit to get you where you want it to be.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you organized that info.
I stole it. I saw it on LinkedIn that someone did it, and I just copied the post over to mine and watched it all fill up. I took the tools that I didn't see people posting on my Facebook one from the LinkedIn one and made the list super long. Now I got to have someone go through and compile those into one sheet so someone can grab the free PDF and click through it. And if you're listening to this for the first time, go look at my other shows. There's free PDFs, and about half of them were the things that they're talking about, they've put into a PDF so you can follow along to make sure that you do it right when you go to employ whatever it is they're talking about. Mark, thanks for being on the show today. I know Minute 7 is $8 a user per month. You get a 20% discount if they send you an email, mark@minute7.com with nonprofit architect in the subject line. Mark, do you have any parting words for our listeners today?
In addition to sort of running Minute 7, I love just talking to people about getting things started, entrepreneurship, software, if you're trying to, you have questions about software or a SaaS company, software as a service company, running that, I'm happy to talk about it. So yeah, if anybody wants to chat with me, my email is mark@minute7.com. I'd be happy to talk and share any information or knowledge that I have with anyone who's looking for any type of assistance.
Hey, thanks again, Mark, for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Travis. It was a lot of fun.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.